This is Red Ice Radio, a beacon of sanity from Northern Europe. RedIceCreations.com.
Good day, my friends and fellow seekers from around the globe. I'm Henrik Palmgren, and this is Red Ice Radio, the program dedicated to many of the subjects that have been largely forgotten, neglected, or flat out censored. We ask you to consider everything but believe nothing. This is about listening to different perspectives in order to learn and understand. Our website is RedIceCreations.com. There you can find much more on many different topics that we find interesting and important. If you're new to the program, I suggest you head on over there and take a closer look at our archives. I'm sure you can find something that will interest you as well. We have radio programs, TV episodes, a very busy news section, audio commentary, video interviews, webcasts, films, and much more. Archives and a member system going back to 2006, filled with good stuff for you to explore and learn from. Today we are talking to Drunvalo Melchizedek. He is the author of 5 books, including The Ancient Secret of the Flower of Life, volumes 1 and 2, Living in the Heart, The Serpent of Light, and his newest one, The Mayan Ouroboros. Drunvalo is the first person in the world in modern times to mathematically and geometrically define the human light body, in ancient times called the Merkaba. He is the founder of the Flower of Life Facilitators that have been teaching his work in over 60 countries. He is with us today to discuss the end of the Mayan calendar and what the Earth is going into as one cycle closes and another begins. Melchizedek tells us about a transformation on Earth that will take place unlike any other. Drunvalo argues we'll experience physical, spiritual, and frequency changes as we mature and transfigure into different beings. Right, this is going to be very interesting. We have Drunvalo Melchizedek with us here on the line, or on the Skype channel, whatever you actually want to call that. It's really good to have you with us, Drunvalo. Thank you, first of all, for coming on the program and, of course, spending some of your time with us here today.
Thank you, Henrik. I'm very happy to be here. And I think this is going to be fun today.
I think so, too. We have a lot of things to talk about, obviously. And I definitely want to get to your new work. You told me a little bit about it off air here, and it sounds very interesting. We're right at the end of the cycle of the Mayan calendar and everything else, of course, and this is a good time, if any, to talk about this stuff. But why don't we just, in the beginning here, for potential newcomers to your work, Drunvalo, just tell us briefly a quick overview of some of the major areas that you've been talking about, researching and working on over the years here.
Well, I've been teaching now for a little less than 30 years, I guess 28, 29 years, and I've been through a lot of different areas. However, it has always been consistently in the direction of consciousness itself, even though sometimes I may get into other kinds of things like free energy or science in some way or something else. Mostly, it's constantly leading us toward higher consciousness. And that is the focus of my life for sure.
Absolutely. And so what are some of the indications for this? We're obviously in a very interesting period and we're going to get deeper into this. But how do you see this from your perspective? How we are evolving, how potentially even the planet are evolving, and how does this manifest itself if we're moving deeper and deeper or into a greater form of consciousness, Drunvalo?
Well, to put it all into perspective, and you look at the precession of the equinoxes, which is a wobble in the Earth's axis. It takes science thinks it takes 25,771 years for that to go around once. The Mayans say no, it's 25,625 years. They're off by about 142 years or something, and it is that cycle that is what everything is about. What the whole Earth is leading into. There is a whole paradigm behind that that is huge and that has been talked about since the Vedas 6,000 years ago, and still deeply into Hinduism and Tibetan Buddhism. It is behind everything they're saying. It is the focus, because according to them, halfway, the cycle you divide it in half. And so it's really about 12,000 something years each way. And we have just come around the last half. And on December 21st, 2012, at 11:11 p.m. at Chichen Itzan in Yucatan, Mexico, the sun, the earth, and the center of the galaxy line up in a straight line. Now, that just might say, well, it's like an eclipse or something. But it is, from their points of view and from the Mayan point of view and the tribes that work with them, it's way much more than that. For one thing, for the last 12,000-something years, the cycle has been male, and it has been male-dominated. And starting on December 22nd, 2012, the cycle switched to female. And the females will basically begin to control the world, just as the males have for the last 12,000 years. They will take over everything. They will take over the governments. They will take over the religions. They'll take over everything. This is what the Mayans are saying anyway, because it is there. That's just what happens when this happens. And then in 12,000 years from now, they will get all convoluted and kind of crazy like the males are now. And the males will take over again, and coming down the dark side, they will protect us as we go into there again. So this cycle's been going on forever.
That feels like a pretty, it's a long cycle, it's a long period, but it seems like, if we can put it in the context, half of the game, the other team holds the ball, so to speak, and then for the other cycle, team, this seems to be kind of pretty evenly distributed, if I put it that way.
It is perfectly evenly distributed, but what happens is eventually, like the males will come down the last 2,000 years, they've been getting more and more weirded out, and at this point, all we're doing is just having wars all over the world and going crazy. And that's what happens every time, according to the Mayans. They've got it written in their predictions long, long time ago that this is what's going to happen right now, and it's exactly what's happening. But they see that the world has looked at their prophecy and only seen the part that they talked about toward the male side, which is from there they see what always happens is that all the male institutions and everything that they have created dissolves away. And so from their point of view, the governments and everything dissolve away, and a whole new way of perceiving the reality appears, which is purely female. And this is what takes over, and this is what keeps the balance as we evolve over time. And so there's a lot of things that they have in their predictions, but they haven't talked about them. Mm-hmm. They've kept it quiet, and mostly because it's so outrageous. Part of it is outrageous. I mean, they're talking about the Mayans predict there'll be a pole shift, a physical pole shift in the next few days. Really, before January 1st, 2016. Hmm. And so in the next just very short amount of time, they're saying there will be a pole shift.
Now, can we just start to interrupt briefly to clarify that magnetic or a polar flip, a physical?
Well, the magnetic poles are predicted by present-day scientists right now that they're going to reverse themselves, that the south is going to become the north, the north is going to become the south.
Right.
If you go to the South Pole right now, what's going on there is insane. There are holes being formed all over the area where the lines, just so the audience understands, that the magnetic lines come out of the South Pole, then they wrap around and come into the North Pole. There's a great deal of scientific debate on exactly what happens with that, that's another subject. But the lines coming out of the South Pole, there are these holes forming, and in these holes, the lines are going out into space like they're going to wrap around, and then they're turning and coming back and going right back inside the Earth. These holes are getting more prolific, and they're getting bigger and bigger. And the scientists went on, they did a NOVA program in 2003, which described all of this information, so the audience can buy this and listen to it. These are the scientists of the world talking about what's going on. The magnetic poles are getting weaker and weaker and weaker. They've been getting weaker for 2,000 years. They've been getting weaker a lot over the last 500 years. And in the last 45 years, they've really been getting weak. So weak that all of the aeronautical maps for landing airplanes around the world had to be changed because the North Pole isn't there anymore. Not the magnetic north is not where it should be.
It's heading towards Russia with a, what is it now? I forget the number all the time, but there is in X amounts of miles per year or something like that. It's heading towards that.
It depends on who you talk to.
Yeah.
But generally right now it's about 40 miles a year. And it's entered into Siberia. It's on land right now in Siberia.
Mm-hmm. And some people, Drinville, said that this is also one of the reasons why we've seen fish dying, whales beaching, birds flying, since they navigate according to the magnetic field, after that they've been on different flight paths and hence maybe even got exhausted and actually just crashing down to the ground, right? We're seeing signs of this.
Oh, yeah, no, it's pretty much accepted in science now that that's what's going on. The whales, they've never seen them do that before. The whales use the magnetic lines for their migration, and those lines have been fixed for a long, long, long time. But in the last 45 years, those lines are now getting so weak that they're meandering and they're changing their shape and their direction. And so now these magnetic lines that the whales follow along the coast that would take them to where they want to go, a lot of these lines will turn and go inland. And when they do, they follow the line and they get beached. And even whales that are 10, 20, 30, 40 miles back come right behind them and go right at follow and get beached also because they're just kind of locked into this following the magnetic lines. And the same way with the birds and lots of other things. You could bring it right down even into menstruational periods of human beings. Things are changing all over the world because of this. And I
remember that news story, sorry to interrupt again, Drew Villa, but the Greenlanders, if that's what you call them, the people in Greenland were apparently reporting that the sun were rising 2 days early, and that was done last year, I guess. And that's pretty incredible. That I don't know what it means. People have different, you know, reasons or speculations for why this actually happened. But it's incredible the shifts and the different anomalies that we've called it before that actually is taking place around the planet right now.
Well, if the Mayans are correct, and then along with the Mayans are the Hopi prophecy, which corresponds exactly with the Mayans, and even the people that are over the Mayans and the Hopi, which are the Kogi and the Arhuacos out of Colombia, they are considered higher than them, but they're related. And they say the same thing, that we are about to go through a transformation on Earth, the likes of which that no one has ever even imagined taking place. It's not only just a physical change where the magnetic poles shift and go north and south, reverse, and followed by a physical pole shift, which would be just incredible with a civilization this big. But that's only, from their point of view, the unimportant part. The important part has to do with consciousness itself. And this is why they have me on board with them. Because the Melchizedek consciousness and the Mayan consciousness is the way we perceive the world is identical. And so we have the same understanding, the same set of concepts to be able to relate with. And what they talk about is that after these things, shortly after the pole shift, there is a change associated with this pole shift that has to do with the way human beings interpret the reality. We actually see the world differently, not the way we do now. And over a very short amount of time, according to them, we become something that is not, would not even be considered human, though we will look the same.
Mm-hmm.
But our way of perceiving life is altered so dramatically that it's a complete change in humanity itself.
Practically overnight, or what periods are we talking about here?
Probably, I actually don't know, and they don't know either. they do believe that that the primary transformation will take place in about 30 hours. But the full transformation of what this means, they're not exactly sure at this moment, and I'm not either. It'll be definitely it'll be done. The outside date of all of this is January 1st, 2016. So all of this is going to be completed before then. But we don't know precisely when.
Hmm. Well, it's all right. And is there any indication then that this is a cycle that begins or initiates in some way with the end date of the Mayan calendar here in 21st of December 2012? Or how do we can we connect these dates, if you will?
Well, the date of December 21st, 2012 happens to be the moment when the alignment takes place, when the Earth and the Sun and the center of the galaxy are aligned. But what they say, and they're very clear about this, and I've spoken with both of the primary Mayan councils, the Guatemalan Mayan Council of Elders, which was with Don Alejandro Cerrillo, and the Itza Mayan Council of Elders, which is with Pedro Pablo Chukpek, who is now the head of the entire Mayan nation. And they have very definite ideas about some of these things, and then at the same time, some of these things that they understand are not clear. And that would be a whole another section of understanding of what's going on, because when the conquistadors came in 500 years ago, their purpose was to destroy the Mayans. They had huge libraries with information greater than anything we have now, greater, and they destroyed all of those books. They destroyed all of them but four. But the Mayan prophecy says that all of their information is going to come back to them. And that's exactly what's happening. There'd actually be a movie should be made on this because it's so amazing. But all of the books, all of their sacred knowledge is being returned to them as we speak. It's gone from four books to 13. So there's now 13 books that are available for the world to read. And there's about over a little more than 1,000 more that are coming.
Now, very interesting. There's so many points here I want to discuss more in detail, of course. But this would imply, if we stick to this subject right now, this would imply that the conquistadors, on orders from the Vatican and what have you, to go over here and to eradicate, that implies that they knew what they were doing, correct? And hence, what did they know and what do they still know? That's what I want to know.
Well, the Vatican plays a huge role in the entire world's finances and everything else. It's just amazing what's going on there. But I'm not going to try to put down the Vatican. I just think that at that time they were mostly interested in the gold, and that was their whole purpose, I believe, at that time. But we don't know for sure. But now. In modern day times, I think that they do understand the implications of what Mayan science means. And because the reason I'm saying that is that they were so concerned about the Mayans having a chance to be able to speak to the world. We had something set up through Unify Earth, which is going to create a huge, it'll be the largest global networking event ever in history if it takes place. They expect 2.5 billion people to be watching at the same time. Mm-hmm. And all this was set up exactly for December 21st, 2012. But when they tried to get Chichen Itza and to lease it, when the Vatican found out what they were doing, the Vatican got in the way and actually forced the Mexican government not to give them this whole thing and not allow them to do it.
Okay.
And at the same time, the Mexican government passed a bill, a law, that said that on December 21st, 2012, the Mayans were not allowed to do any ceremony in any of their own temples anywhere in Mexico.
You're kidding.
No.
Is this available online to take a look at? Reports on this or something?
You can find it somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They sent me a copy of the Itza Mayan Council sent me a copy and said, look at this. And so they won't let them. They were all planned to do ceremonies in every one of their temples, and they will not let them do ceremony in any of them now.
Now, what are they afraid of then? What could happen if they did?
There's no doubt the Vatican was behind this. So we don't know what the Vatican's afraid of, but they won't let them do it.
Very interesting. I want to go back to the question of what would drive the changes. If we're talking about changes of our consciousness or the way we perceive the world, we think about the world, or our relationship to it. Are we talking about DNA changes, biochemical changes of the brain, or is this on a soul level, if you will, or a spirit level? And if so, what would drive that? Do we have any answers about this at all?
Well, what the Mayans say is that yes, there will be DNA changes. We are going to be altered from inside out, and these DNA changes are triggered, they say, by this alignment with the center of the galaxy. And but the full unfoldment of what this means is more than almost I can even talk about here. They're talking about us first making a change here on the third dimensional level of this Earth, and then they say that we move from here up a frequency into the fourth dimensional level of the Earth. We actually go into another level of existence that the world is not really aware of. And from there, our bodies begin to change, and we grow. We become a lot bigger. We females get to be 10 to 12 feet high, and males become 14 to 16 feet high with these huge brains. And we transform ourselves, and they said it takes about a 2-year period for our body actually goes through metamorphosis. I mean, this is why they never talked about these things, because the world would just say, you're crazy. This could not possibly be. But you got to understand, their science is far more accurate than anything that we have on Earth right now today. Their calendar is more precise than all of our computers in the world can create. And they don't know how they did it, but it is. It still is. Even after they've made all the adjustments in the year 2000, they made all these adjustments on time and everything's like that. And they still can't get as accurate as the Mayans have. The Mayans have connections with other levels of existence that we don't understand at all. We don't even know where they came from. We don't even know how they got where they are. If you ask any of the Mayans, if you ask any of the Hopi, and if you ask any of the Okogi or Owakos and say, where did you come from? They said the last place we came from was from Atlantis. All of them do. And they've said this to me personally. And they talk about Atlantis and what happened there. And what happened in Atlantis, which even though there's no scientific documentation or proof that it even existed, other than Plato saying that, this is hard to express.
Sure. No, I'm listening. It's very, very interesting. I have so many things I want to ask you, but I want to give you plenty of time to just kind of lay it out here, Turnbullo. So yeah. Go ahead. Well,
there were things that happened in Atlantis that are still affecting us today. I've just wrote a new book. It's called the Mayan Ouroboros. And which is the snake biting its tail, which is the end of a cycle coming right back again. And they have a glyph for that, which we'll put on the cover of that whole thing. They have incredible beliefs around our world that we don't have at all. And yet, at the same time, their science is so accurate, so perfect in so many ways that we don't believe them. We don't really think that they have. Like I said, we don't even know where they came from. They say they came from the stars. Before Atlantis, they came from the stars. They know exactly where. They know how. They know when. And we just don't understand. It's like with the Hopi. What archaeologists say is that they came from Russia across the Bering Strait, came down through Alaska, Canada, and finally walked themselves into the Four Corners area of the United States and Arizona. But that isn't true. Grandfather Eric, who is the history keeper of that tribe, who is a friend of mine and has told me all of their history, and says that they came out of Guatemala. They said, we don't know where they came from. We know exactly where we came from. We know every trail that we came here on. They were received in Palenque and stayed there for 800 years. And then moved by the Itza Council, and then moved up to where they are now. And so our history is just filled with errors. And so it's hard to talk about a history that nobody knows.
it seems to have been lost and forgotten, obviously, and partially because of this. And this kind of ties in what I want to ask you about is we have a halfway point, as you said, in the cycle about 12,000 years ago or so. And many people, or 10,500 BC, 10,000 BC or so. A lot of indication seems to point out that there was a cataclysm on the planet at that stage as well. Major catastrophe.
Yes.
For all we know, this could actually be the period when, and if there was such an island as Atlantis or continent, city, country, what have you, actually went under. Now, does that also mean then that when we're in this shift point, as you said before, they just, for some reason, this also means a planetary purge almost, a cleansing of the surface layer on the planet. Is that correct? Would you say that's correct? Or?
Yes. Basically, what happened in Atlantis is there was a misuse of energy in a way that with a science that we're just learning about right now. And in the misuse of that, it split the dimensional levels apart on Earth and caused a catastrophe the likes of which we can't even hardly imagine right now. And the last 200 years of Atlantis was hell. People were filled with beings from other levels of existence. They were possessed. They were all sick and dying, and it was horrible. And there are levels of humankind that are higher than us. They were human, but they've gone beyond us, which people call the Ascended Masters. They are real, and they are really here. There's about 8,000 of them. And without them, we would have never made it. But they actually helped us solve a lot of those problems. And they've been trying to fix the problem that we've been under for just a little less than 13,000 years. And that problem has just been fixed. It was finally fixed in 2008.
How?
We don't know that. But, I mean, there's so much that is secret going on in the world that...
Yeah, it seems to be.
Isn't talked about, mm-hmm. but they had to. What we don't, well, what science does know, but they don't talk about it to the world, is that in order for a consciousness to exist on Earth, no matter what it is, human beings or bugs or deer or anything else, they have a very specific geometrical relationship to sacred geometry, and that relationship is put into an electromagnetic field that is geometrical in nature that stretches around the entire planet. And if there were just two bugs or two animals of some species, they before they could actually exist and walk on the surface of the Earth, this electromagnetic grid has to be around the Earth first. And then when it is, then they come out and they can exist, and you can actually see by the shape of their body that it came from that particular grid. And there were 30 million of these grids around the world. There were 30 million species in the year 1900. We're down to about 14 million now. Over half of the world's species of life on this planet have died and they've gone extinct. Is that
part of the natural cycle decline or human interruption or whatever you want to call it?
Well, there's a huge debate on that, but I believe it's primarily human.
Yeah.
What has happened here that has caused these species to die. And in fact, if we continue down the road we're going, United Nations declared that humans themselves are endangered. This is not going to stop. Unless we change something pretty dramatically.
Go ahead. Let's finish that thought there.
Well, no, I mean, that's pretty much it.
Now, do you have any, have you heard anything about any kind of genetic manipulation, either of the human race? I mean, we can certainly go back far as Atlantis or in between there, or that we in another way have been seeded, if you will, here, the rest of us. Any info on this?
Okay, I'm coming from Melchizedek consciousness. I was actually sent here. And we are the first consciousness that came out of the creation. And our job is we just watch everything. We witness.
The watchers, yeah.
We just watch and we record, and we do help planets and suns and galaxies that have a dimensional problem. And that's the problem with this planet right now, is we have a dimensional problem. We don't know how to go from the third to the fourth dimension, but we should know by now. But we don't, because of what happened on Atlantis. And so I just watch, and we have now presented to the world the exact information that they need to know, which they have forgotten. They just had bits and pieces of it here and there. And so now that that information is back into the DNA, there should be no problem for us to make this transition to the next level. But, you know, we're not the only ones. I mean, it isn't just the Mayans and the indigenous people and that are concerned about these issues. Look at what NASA just talked about a year ago, where they were predicting that the solar flares and the magnetic field was getting into such a position that that the solar maximum of this solar cycle 24 that we're in right now, which will hit us in the spring of 2013, they're predicting a catastrophe on Earth at that time. Are you aware of this?
Yeah, oh, for sure. We've done programs about it. We've been, may not warning about it, but we've been talking about it for a long time now. Definitely, we have. We've been watching the activity of the sun for a long time. And it seems definitely to be on the rise. And there's been some speculation back and forth that it hasn't kicked up as quickly as they thought, what have you. But as we know, Drunvalo, when it comes to the sun and the eruptions, it could go extremely fast. And again, from historical point of view, historical records, again, going back to 10,500 BC or so, there seems to be evidence that whatever happened actually involved the sun as well. So, you know.
Sun is always the key to everything. All life on Earth came from the sun. Yeah. Every scientist on Earth will tell you that. Yep. It came from the light and the radiation from the sun. That's where we came from.
Sorry to interrupt. Is it that, then, that might be the one of the driving forces for, some people have called it mutation, which is a drastic word, but changes to make it more, you know.
We are going to mutate. We're going to change pretty dramatically. And if all these people are correct, you know, and what they're saying. But, you know, England also went in and researched everything that NASA had said and done and all their records and looked at the whole thing. And they came back with the same conclusion. This is probably going to happen. So we're talking about from what NASA says, between 1 month and 9 months of the world being shut down. Shut down. No water, no food, no gasoline. No, nothing, no money, everything shut down. And if that were to happen, just the number of lives that would be lost. Some of the figures I was looking at was 300 million people in the first 90 days.
Well, I mean, we've done programs about what would happen if the electricity to the cooling system, to the nuclear reactors would stop.
Oh, I know.
I mean, toast. Bye-bye.
I know. There's real problems that are associated with all of this. But have you read what the Russians have said?
No. About that specifically, you mean, or?
Yeah, well, the Russians have taken it another step further. You're familiar, I'm sure, with the crop circles all around the world.
Oh, of course, certainly, yeah.
You know, and Colin Andrews, this is a very good friend of mine. He said that about 80% of them are man-made, but there's these 20% that you can't put out because they're not crushed down by boards. They grow into place, and they're still alive, and. Those crop circles are extraordinary, and who's doing them, nobody knows for sure. But there have been groups around the world that have been trying to decipher the mathematical information in these crop circles to try to understand what it is that whoever's doing these are saying to us. They're obviously trying to say something to us. And nobody's been able to figure it out until just recently, and the Russians did it. They broke the code, and they can now read these crop circles like we're reading a book. Can you give
us a few examples? I mean, one example that I'm aware of is a few years ago where there were patterns, indentations, if we will, standing crop, lying down crop, and this was basically interpreted as one and zero, and then they translated that into ASCII code and actually just printed it out on a computer, and it was actually a coherent sentence, you know, about bearers of false gifts or something. I don't remember the whole story, but it's pretty interesting. It's online.
They all break down into words and things that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And who's who is spearheading this is Dr. Marina Popovich, PhD. She is a cosmonaut, and she's walked on the moon, and she's 86 years old. She's highly, highly respected in Russia, along with about five other Russian scientists that did this work. She put this work out, I think, in August of 2011, and she wrote a book also on this, along with two or three other Russian scientists that were co-authoring it. And now, today, there's over 50 major Russian scientists that agree with her, and lots of scientists in the world agree with her, based on what is being said. Well, what they're saying is, in a nutshell, is they're telling us that very quickly, very soon, any minute now, there's going to be eight catastrophes on the Earth, eight of them in a row, one right after another. And the first one they're describing sounds like the one that NASA's talking about, where all the computer systems are blown out, are erased. The memory is erased, which erases all the memory of all the computers in the world, all our personal computers as well, except for those that are in really good Faraday cages, of course. Let me see, where was I going with that?
Well, I want to hear a little bit more about that. She authored a book called Letters of Extraterrestrial Civilizations, The Last Warning.
That's the book, but she put out a science paper describing all of that in condensing it down into a thing. So she says that there's eight of these. She says, we will survive the first one. She says, but the chances of anybody surviving the second one is pretty slim. And so what the crop circles, which she says are extraterrestrials that are making these crop circles, I agree with her partly, and partly it's also the Ascended Masters. It's partly human and partly ET. But she says what they're saying is that these catastrophes are coming, that we have to do something. We can't just sit here and wait for it to happen, because if we do, we're not going to make it.
And what is that specifically? You think?
Well, this is the area that she hasn't defined very well. What she says that they say is that we have to leave the third dimensional level of the Earth completely, and we have to go to the fourth dimensional level of the Earth. We're still in the same place, same planet. We're in a different frequency. The dimensional levels are separated by frequency in exactly the same way that music is separated by frequency. It is exactly the same thing. And so when you go from one dimension to the next, you can just look at the chromatic scale and see exactly how the dimensions are separated from each other. And so we have to learn how to change the channel. That's all you do when you change a television channel.
Right.
You change it and you go to a different wavelength. And our consciousness has to be tuned to a different wavelength, and poof, we're there.
Okay, but that's very interesting. And we're still then part of all the other three dimensions at that point, but does that, protect us from the upheaval and cataclysm that's going to happen on the Earth at that
stage? On the fourth dimension, it doesn't happen. What's happening there is that everything is in balance and perfect peace. There's no problems. And it only happens on the third dimensional dimension of the Earth. The Mayans say, and so do the Ascended Masters say, is that everything is set up for the people on the Earth, completely ready for them to make this change. And all it is we have to change something within us. We have to make a change, and we know exactly what that change is. It's a little complicated, but it's not that hard. And it requires a little bit of understanding. And we can make this transition over. And once we do, according to the crop circles, everything's fine after that, because it's all prepared on the other side.
Now, we've talked with others as well on the program about, there's different words for it, New Earth, and that there's we're basically looking at a situation where people could be walking side by side, still physically on the planet, but because of their consciousness, because they're actually in such a different place, it's almost like they don't see each other, and what affects one does not affect the other. Is that the same principle we're talking about here, that those who might be stuck, if you will, in the third might still go ahead, Turnbull.
The third dimension is almost all matter, very little energy. The fourth dimension is almost pure energy and very little matter. So when you look at the human body, the body is dense, the human body, and there's not very much energy there, but it's a lot of mass. And when we make the transition over, our bodies are just energy. But there's still mass associated with it. The atoms are just at a tremendous differences. And so if you have a fourth dimensional body on the third dimensional Earth, you can't see them. You look right through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But on their world, we look normal.
Would that mean also then, if and when that begins to happen, this would be a popular reference, this will be like a rapture where people disappear to go into the fourth or what?
Yes, that's exactly what. There's actually three ways that it's possible to go to there. One of them is what Jesus gave, which is to do resurrection, which means that you die, and directly after you die, you recreate your body and bring it with you. Now, according to all of the people that I know, all of them, we must bring our body with us over to the fourth dimension. If we don't, we're in trouble. And, not real trouble, but it won't work. And so that's what Jesus did right afterwards. He reconstructed his body, brought it with him, and went on from there. And there's another way. And that way was born out of Kundalini Yoga and Kriya Yoga, and has been written about in the Vedas, which is how you can reconnect the heart to the brain through the tip of the tongue on the roof of the mouth and through very specific glands and opening up the third eye, which creates these eight beams of light that come out of your head that you can actually photograph and produces a halo, which we have now scientifically documented. And from there, in that state of consciousness, while at that point, you are living from your heart, not your brain. Your ego dissolves. And it's a very ancient way of humankind being. It is the way we were prior to what happened in Atlantis. And that is the, if there are many, many people around the world, I have a school set up for that, but so do other people. I'm not the only one. And so in that school, you can learn in 4 or 5 days everything you need to know and learn how to do it. And it changes everything. Now, once you know that, just knowing that, you're not really human after that, because you then understand the structure and the infrastructure of the universe itself, which is completely different than the way science thinks it is and way humans think it is now. We are, from based on higher consciousness, we are completely lost. We're not even close.
I was going to ask earlier, isn't there just a pill you can take to go through all this? Obviously not. These are very, very vastly different teachings and practices you're talking about. I understand that. I don't want to talk more about that. I was going to say, share with us the secrets, and in a way you alluded to some of that. But one more thing before we go on there: animals, plants, other forms of consciousness, will they be affected by this? Go through similar changes as well, or no? Only through, human.
But they know how innately. They don't have a problem. In fact, even human children that are under puberty, that have not reached puberty yet, they're not going to have a problem. They know exactly what to do. The only people that we have a problem with on the whole earth is adult human beings. They have lost their memory. They don't remember how to do it. And it's a natural thing that we should know, but we don't. But everything's going to be fine.
Well, we need to talk more about this, and we're going to carry on here for a little bit longer before we take a break in between the segments. But you mentioned some of the Vedic cycles before. Obviously, the yuga cycles, and you talked about the processional cycle. We have people like the Vedic astrologer Swami Sri Yukteswar Giri, I think is his full name, if I pronounced that correct. He kind of connected the processional cycle with the age of Aquarius, with us going into a new era, and some people have placed this hundreds of years from now. But in your view, do you kind of, is that what's happening? Is that what we're going through, these two connected cycles? Yeah,
on December 22nd, 2012, we enter the age of Aquarius. And you can see it right in the cycles if you look at it. It's clear to me anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what's that's why we go into a new yuga, and in so doing we actually change the nature of who we are changes. Everything changes within us. We are not just like a rock that is just fixed and stays there forever. We are constantly transforming. And we just happen to be at one of these times of the great transformations. You know, the Mayans do it. They don't count through the precession primarily, even though the Tibetans and the Hindus do. They count through what's called the Mayan long count. And that is a 5,125 year point something cycle. But if you multiply five times that 5,125 years, you get to 25,625 years, which is exactly the same length as the precession of the equinoxes. And so when the precession began 25,625 years ago, and at exactly that same moment, so did the Mayan long count begin. And it went around, first it went around one time, then two times, then three times, then four times, without being in any kind of relationship to the precession at all. But this time it comes back around, and at exactly at the same precise second, it lines up perfectly with those two things. And we, for the first time in 25,625 years, we get direct connection into the center of the galaxy.
I want to talk a little bit more about what would aid and help along in this process. You alluded to some of these things before, what people can do, and also the comparison or the opposite to that. If people, well, you know, keep up as usual, trying to with the, I heard we did an interview with one from the Heart Math Institute, by the way. You mentioned kind of some of their work previously.
Oh, the Heart Math is great. Yeah,
really interesting stuff. And I remember he saying that pure physical work or labor doesn't actually really work anymore, doesn't produce results only. You have to have consciousness and intention and will, if you will, with you as well. If we keep up, it to me, it seems anyway, right now in the period we're in currently, that if you just keep going as usual, there's a lot of resistance there. Things aren't working as smoothly as before. Do you know what I'm saying there? And if so, is that part of that cycle of resistance in that third?
We are in the window. That there's a window on either side of December 21st, 2012, mm-hmm. and we are inside of that window when the change takes place. And we are changing now. We are in the midst of a transformation at this moment. But we do come to this point where the whip is cracked, and it's a very fast thing. It's 30 hours long, where there's a huge transformation takes place within all of us. Mm-hmm. It is just as big as what would happen with a butterfly. Moving from one life form to another, just kind of secretly. I'll tell you, just to go straight to the heart of the whole thing, is that what the Mayans say and the Hopi and a lot of the other ones is that the problem lies in the fact that we think this world is real. And we think it's solid and fixed. And we don't know the source of where the world came from and where everything came from. This is how they see our problem. And we think that if we die, that this world just keeps right on going and it doesn't have any effect on anything. One single being has no effect on anything. From their point of view, from Melchizedek's point of view and all that, that is exactly wrong. It is 180 degrees off. The outer world is not at all what we think it is, if these guys are right. This is why we're not even close. What it actually is, it is made only of consciousness and nothing else. It isn't actually there. It is only there within our being. And they can prove this, they can show it, they can actually change their form right in front of you, that you can become you can move from a human being to a puma or some other life form, because your body is nothing but an image in consciousness. And if you change the consciousness, you change your body. And that's true with everything in existence. And we don't know that. And because we don't know the very basic premise of the reality, this is why we can't keep up with what's going on, because we're all of science is based on an incorrect premise.
But there are some interesting outsiders in the scientific field that have studied the holographic nature of the universe, and even the word Maya means illusion in the Indian language, I think, which is a kind of a part of this that you're saying. This is an illusion. We're trapped in something, or I don't know what the outlook is there from your point of view, Dhrunvalo, if we're trapped in it, or if it's just an experience that we're having for different purposes to grow and so forth.
Well, we're kind of trapped in it right now, but we're about to get free of all of that. And once we really, I mean, when Jesus said, the truth will set you free, that's an understatement. Because once we really understand that the external world and our body is our own consciousness, and we are creating it with every breath we breathe, which is so outside of what we normally think, that once we reach that other level, all the needs that we have here in this third dimensional world of money and energy and food and all these kinds of things are meaningless. We don't need them anymore. We don't need food. We don't need water. There's already people on Earth that aren't eating food right now and not drinking water. China found over 5,000 babies in the 80s that still to this day do not drink food or water, because there's other ways you can get it. You can get it straight from chi or from prana. And you can actually see through the geometry exactly how that works. It isn't even a mystery.
Does that mean that there's a new, you talked about a geometrical pattern, if you will, that goes along with whatever life force is on the planet? Is there any evidence that there's new patterns created or here right now at this stage?
No, well, I don't think so. I think that life has just about exhausted all possibilities. Mm-hmm. It's the old saying, there's nothing new under the sun. And when it comes to geometry, I think we know it.
right. Well, I want to ask you a bit later, by the way, Dhrunvalo, about you've talked much about the flower of life, that particular pattern, and how it relates to certain things and your teachings behind that. But in a few minutes, I want to take a little break here between the segment, continue with more.
Okay.
Why don't we talk a little bit about your books? I want you to give out your website address as well, so people know where to go to find you, find your stuff, and if you're doing any other presentations or talks right now.
Okay. Well, the book is called The Mayan Ouroboros. It is not out yet. I just went to the publisher about 3 days ago, and they're going to put it on Amazon and iTunes, I think, first, because it takes longer just to get it out, because it's tied to December 21st, 2012, so they're trying to move as fast as possible. And if anybody is interested in learning how to go from the third to the fourth dimension, and how to do that, and how to make that transition, which has been talked about in religions all around the world forever, you can go to dhrunvalo.net. And on there, I have a school called the School of Remembering. And in the School of Remembering, we have created a class called Awakening the Illuminated Heart. And that is the instructions on everything you need to know for this time. And it's really, there's nothing left. You have everything you need to know. And we've trained over 100 teachers that are in about 60 countries around the world. So you can go on to that site, and there you can find the teacher that's in your country, and they can, either in 4 or 5 days, depending on how long you want to go, they can give you this information. And you can then begin to learn, practice it, and learn how to use it. That also tells you, on that website, it'll also tell you wherever I'll be around the world. But right now, I'm not going anywhere out of Sedona for the next year anyway.
All right.
My teachings are coming from here.
Yeah. All right. Really good. Website, dhrunvalo.net. This is spelled Drunvalo, dhrunvalo.net. That's where you can find more information. About the School of Remembering, as Dhrunvalo mentioned also then. The old book, by the way, is called Serpent of Light, and we're going to talk more also about Mayan Ouroboros, the new book. That's kind of a continuation, if you will, on this as well. But more here in the next segment about how to go from the third over to the fourth. So do stay with us. We'll be right back with more. next hour for our members, Grunvalo explains how he was given the name Melchizedek. He talks about the Melchizedek order, which he says is in place to help dimensional problems, such as the one we are currently experiencing. We'll discuss in detail what it means to move into the fourth dimension and how it's vital for our survival. Grunvalo also explains our connection to the sun and how we perceive reality. Then we'll discuss ET presence, our ET origins, conflicts, and our benevolent helpers. Melchizedek says the 4D is a parking lot full of various beings. Also, he discusses how temporal interference is being used by our governments and other groups to alter the timeline. Later, Grunvalo tells us how, within the Merkaba, there is a blueprint of all life, all laws of physics and sacred geometry. At the end, he gives us a timeline of events that will occur, provided that the Mayan and Hopi prophecies indeed are accurate. Don't miss this second hour, available right now in our members section. When you subscribe, you'll get instant access to all our programs in their entirety, going back to our start in 2006. Stream or download? This is commercial-free radio presented on an ad-free website. We appreciate your support. Next on Red Ice Radio, we have Janice Barcelo, Daniel Pinchbeck, Bryce Sable, our Olympics special with various guests. Then Courtney Brown, Jan Irving, Duncan Worley, Christer Johansson, Joseph Atwill with Fritz Heed, and many, many more will be with us. Thank you for listening, considering, and hopefully learning something new. But right now, coming up the second hour with Grunvalo Melchizedek. Stay with us.